path, and that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
like the doctor said the day you were born, it's gonna get ugly.
Crossed over, if I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on sunny side of the street.
I just wanted to see if Kyle was paying attention there at the top of the show. Welcome to the vacation edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Frank is off on vacation with a whole bunch of our listeners again. They're all down in Cancun. Ian and Dan are with them. So filling in for Ian behind the control board is Kyle, and filling in for Dan in the corner of the studio, answering your phone calls when you get in here, and also keeping an eye on traffic later on is Tim Weiland. Hi, guys. How are
Hello,
you?
Hello, Paul. Doing fine.
I'm a little depressed today because I had a lot of money on the Mizzou game yesterday. I had Mizzou plus 40, and I lost.
They were 25-point underdogs, and what'd they lose, 49
by 49? 86-37.
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend of mine. I didn't actually have a bet on the game, but I was talking to a guy last night who knows a bookie who has taken in a bet from one of his customers on the Kentucky Wildcats, who were the ones who stomped all over the Tigers last night, as heard on KTRS. And the bookie took a bet on the Wildcats going completely undefeated for the season, which they are as of now. They're 16-0. I don't follow sports, but after he told me about this, I looked this up. They're 16-0 right now. And the bet was that if they go undefeated the entire season, the payoff is 60-1.
Now, is that through the tournament and they have to win the national
regular season? I guess they would have to win March Madness and the Final Four and be number one when all that is over. So, yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah, it would be an undefeated season.
So you've still got 2.5 months to go in the season. But after my friend told me about this, we looked it up to see what the current odds are, because that 60-1 was before the college basketball season started. It's now down to 15-1.
Ooh.
But he'll still get the 60-1 if he wins it, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
The bet was at 60-1.
Okay.
So he put $2,000 down. So this guy's got $120K on the line. And so we were talking, and somebody else who was with us said, well, if I was that bookie, you know what I'd do? I said, what, offer him a buyout? No, you can't do that. He said, I would go to one of these other bookies that's doing it at 15,000-1, and I'd bet 8,000 the other way, lay it off on him. So if I win the bet against this guy and lose the bet against that guy, I'm not on the hook for the full 120K.
Right.
It's like a hedge fund managing.
Exactly.
Wow.
So glad I don't do sports betting anymore.
What's the last with UCLA? Did they go undefeated back?
I think they did. Yeah, 33. I don't remember.
I'd have to look that up.
I don't know. Coming up on the show today, Dr. Doug Pernikoff will take your questions about your animals in our Ask the Vet segment. That'll be at 4:15. Oh, at 5:15 today, we've got the guy behind the Razzie Awards. These are the awards that get handed out the day before the Academy Awards for the worst in cinema.
Right.
And since tomorrow morning, the Oscars are announcing their nominees for this year, today's the day that he has his nominees for the Razzie Awards, and he'll be with me here in about 2 hours. His name is John Wilson. I'm looking forward to talking to him. And we'll also have Bill Clevelin and Mike Evans. And, yes, I have a new batch of knuckleheads in the news. Also, later on this hour, a feature I haven't done on this radio station in many years called You Be the Jury. I've got a pretty good case, and I want you to be the jury on that case. We'll do that in a few minutes. But first, I want to talk a little bit more about this Charlie Hebdo story, because they came out with the issue yesterday. We talked yesterday on the show about the cover of the magazine and the fact that it was going to be going on sale in Paris at dawn this morning. By dawn this morning, they were sold out.
Mm-hmm.
Sold out of a million issues of a satirical newspaper that normally prints about 60,000. Now, before I get to that, I was thinking about this. We don't have anything like that in this country, a satirical newspaper.
Like the Onion type thing?
I don't think that the Onion has any kind of major subscription base like that. I think that a lot of the ones in Paris are sold at newsstands. I don't even know where there's a newsstand. I think we used to have a World News here at Westport. They're not here anymore.
No. Is that one still in Clayton?
They still have the one in Clayton. Okay. Yeah, it's still there. I think it's on Forsyth. But, there was a time when you had Mad Magazine. You had, and I think that's still around. You had the National Lampoon before it became just bad straight to cable movies. That magazine was a major brand in this country, and there were kind of underground magazines. There was Cracked.
Yeah, Cracked. And
so I'm sorry, the National Lampoon movies that are out now, that started from a magazine.
Yes, yes. In the early 70s, Junior.
Okay.
it actually started and built up quite a reputation. The first movie they made was Animal House.
Well, and that's what I'm wondering. Did they have a column in there or a story, or how did
Animal House was based on a story written by a guy by the name of Chris Miller in National Lampoon magazine. He was one of the regular contributors. And then it got fleshed out by Chris Miller and Doug Kenny and Harold Ramis, who was one of the Ghostbusters and did a whole bunch of other movies, Stripes, etc., and just died last year. So, yeah, at a time, that was National Lampoon. But they weren't a political satirical magazine. They were kind of a magazine that was aimed for people who were either in college or acted like they were in college.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
That was the mentality. It was a great magazine.
Yeah,
I subscribed to it for many, many years, and then it kind of went away. But I guess the closest we have to anything like this Charlie Hebdo in this country would probably be the stuff that shows up on TV. Right? I mean, like The Daily Show?
Yeah.
Or
well, yeah, they kind of equated that to The Daily Show.
Or
and
Bill Maher?
Yeah.
Or those kind of...
Colbert?
Yeah, Colbert's old show would have been that sort of thing. And those are much more popular than this magazine. But I was also thinking today about how the terrorists who did this, who were now learning or were instructed in where to attack and how to do it by Al-Qaeda, did they achieve what they wanted to achieve, do you think? Because terrorism has at its heart terror. You strike terror into the hearts of people who you attack. We felt that certainly on 9/11. And the rest of the world has felt terror when there have been all sorts of terrorist attacks. But if the idea of these people who attacked this satirical newspaper in Paris was to put them out of business, that didn't work out, did it?
No, it didn't.
I mean, they killed 17 people, 12 of whom worked at Charlie Hebdo. But Charlie Hebdo is a better-known brand now around the world than it was 3 weeks ago.
Had you ever heard of it before?
No.
This? Neither had I.
I can't tell you a satirical magazine in this country,
yeah.
Let alone in another
yeah, that's
country.
That's true. You proved it.
Yeah. So,
but I think with the extremists, did it not further, you know, the people that were kind of on the edge? I mean, it's horrible to say, but it was a very successful terrorist operation.
Well, it was successful at killing people.
And I'm saying the people that were deranged and on the fence of joining one of these things, maybe that pushed them over the edge. I mean, it's got a lot of...
But did it change anything? I mean, it probably engendered more anti-Islamic furor in France.
That's what I think. I think it solidified people getting together and standing up for freedom and stuff, free speech and that. But I think it also turned the other way. I think it smongered hate.
I agree. Absolutely. Absolutely, a tremendous amount of it. But people were lining up to buy this newspaper that they never bought before. Before dawn this morning, they were sold out of a million copies. People waited in the dark this morning before dawn for over 2 hours waiting in line.
But do you think extremists are not going to carry out these type of things in the future because of the...
No. They are. They are going to. But my question is, to what end? Well, I mean, what did they really accomplish here? They made people scared, certainly, but they didn't make the people behind this newspaper stop publishing this newspaper or stop doing cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad or doing all sorts of other admittedly tasteless stuff. They've done tasteless stuff about Christianity and Judaism and Islam, and they're not going to stop. And also, now those cartoons, which were limited to a 60,000 subscriber newspaper in Paris, France, are being seen all over the world. I mean, not every news outlet is carrying them, but I would say if you haven't been able to see it, you haven't really been watching or looking. I mean, people have changed their Facebook icons and their Twitter images to be the cover of this week's issue of Charlie Hebdo.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if the goal was we have to squash these infidels who are disrespecting our religion, that didn't really work, did it?
No. And it wasn't it the, what was it? I haven't seen it, but they said the new issue, or maybe it is this issue.
It is. Yeah.
It's the you know, depicting the Prophet Muhammad and making fun of it. And I've heard people say that's kind of pushing a little bit. It's being pretty provocative, but that's what they're all about.
Yes, they are provocateurs. That's what their business is. And I've seen some of the stuff that they've done. And like I said, it's tasteless. I don't care, though. You know, like I was saying on yesterday's show, it's impossible to offend me with anything that comes out in the media. Because I have the ability to just go, all right, I'm not going to read that. All right, I'm not going to watch that. All right, I'm not going to listen to that. It's fine. I got no problem with that because I strongly believe in the First Amendment. They don't have a First Amendment in England, which I'm going to get to here in just a second. But listen to this. Air France bought 20,000 copies of this issue of Charlie Hebdo and handed them out to passengers as they were getting on planes today.
Good for them. That's great.
That's fantastic. The 3 million issue copy run, it was originally supposed to be 60,000. That's what they normally did. Then they said, we're going to print 1 million of them this week. Then yesterday they said, no, 3 million. Today they announced, we're going to go to 5 million because of demand worldwide. You can't get it in the United States. You can't get it in much of the world. But they're going to print 5 million issues.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you're... The idea of your terrorist attack was to squash this kind of dissent. All you've done is amplified it and given it a bigger platform for the world.
Yeah.
I'll take a couple of phone calls, Tim. 314-969-KTRS.
Now that you said that, the phones went dead.
They'll call. 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phones, *KTRS. Now, this is an important thing to know about France, and I did not know this. I was looking around at a bunch of stories about this today, and a guy by the name of Jacob Sullum, who I've had on my show, he's an editor at Reason Magazine, wrote this. On Sunday, as more than 1 million people marched through the streets of Paris in support of the right to draw cartoons without being murdered, the French Ministry of Culture and Communication declared that artistic freedom and freedom of expression stand firm and unflinching at the heart of our common European values. It added that France and her allies in the EU safeguard these values and promote them in the world, unquote. Sullum says, these were stirring words. If only they were true. Sadly, France and other European countries continue to legitimize the grievances underlying the barbaric attack on Charlie Hebdo by endorsing the idea that people have a right not to be offended. It is true that France doesn't prescribe the death penalty for publishing cartoons that offend Muslims. But, and I didn't know this until I read this in his piece today, under French law, insulting people based on their religion is a crime punishable by a fine of 22,500 euros, it's about $40,000, and 6 months in jail. Insulting people based on their religion is a crime punishable by a fine of 22,500 euros and 6 months in jail. In addition to religion, that law covers insults based on race, ethnicity, national origin, sex, sexual orientation, or disability. defamation as opposed to a mere insult based on any of those factors is punishable by up to a year in prison. And so is incitement to discrimination or hatred or violence.
Wow.
Now, in this country, if somebody defames you or slanders or libels you, you can take them to court in a civil proceeding and sue them, but that person's not going to be arrested and put in jail. It's not a crime for that person to commit those words.
Does it say how many people go to jail each year in France over this type of stuff?
He says over the course of the years, this has come up many, many times, and French courts have rejected some religious insult complaints against books like Salman Rushdie's The Satanic Verses, or movies like The Last Temptation of Christ, or movie posters like the one for The People versus Larry Flint. But the courts have been more receptive to complaints about a billboard that lampooned The Last Supper, or a newspaper essay on the purported connection between Catholic doctrine and the Holocaust, or remarks by the actress Brigitte Bardot, or others, including one guy whose show was recently banned as anti-Semitic, banned by the government, not by the network that he was doing it for. So he goes on to say in this piece, the point is not that the government has done a bad job of distinguishing between legitimate art or commentary and gratuitous offensiveness. In a free society, that is simply not the government's job. When courts are asked to draw this line, artists and commentators have to try to anticipate whether their work will pass muster, and now you've got self-censorship. Worse, and this is the important point of all this, this system teaches people that the use of force is an appropriate response to words and images that offend, a principle that is poisonous to free speech and conducive to violence. Since the French government has announced that offending the wrong people by saying the wrong thing in the wrong context can be treated as a crime, it's not surprising when some people, convinced that their rights have been violated and can't count on the courts to vindicate them, resort to self-help and then violence. And by the way, he says, France is not alone in this. There are other countries that criminalize hate speech, including Germany and the Netherlands and the UK and Sweden and our neighbors to the north up in Canada. He says they are all sending a dangerous message that offending people with words or images is akin to assaulting them with fists or knives. And in doing so, a government that it says it's truly committed to open debate and freedom of speech would make it clear in no uncertain terms that offending Muslims or any religious group is not a crime. Now, I did not know that that's the way that France worked or those other countries did, because I guess I have my limited field of view being here in the United States and knowing so well what our First Amendment says and knowing there are restrictions on what we can say about one another. But if someone on this show were to insult the Catholic Church in some way or an Islamic mosque or a Jewish synagogue, there might be repercussions in the radio station and from our listeners. But no one's going to come here and arrest them.
No. Advertisers pull the plug, you get kicked off, stuff, but the government doesn't come in.
And that's the way it should work. There are consequences to your free speech, but not criminal consequences. There shouldn't be criminal consequences. And Jacob Sullum is absolutely right. When your government is telling you that it's okay for us to call that a crime and to forcibly put you in jail for saying what you believe, the next step up from that, on that slippery slope, or down, I suppose, is people saying, well, if the government can do that forcibly, then we can do it forcibly, and we can use force to try to change that. It's a great, great point. But Tim, I want to go to the lines, but I don't see names on the screen.
Yeah, they're up there, aren't they?
No. Just what's the...
All right.
Just tell me who's on one.
Marvin.
Okay. Hi, Marvin. You're on the Big 550. Hello.
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Hey, Paul, it's really great to hear you.
Thank you.
Hoping someday maybe you'll be a permanent fixture around there again.
Thank you.
Many years ago.
Thank you. That's not going to happen because I don't want it to happen. But
that's a shame. I've heard Frank say that. And well, that's okay. A little bit better than nothing.
Thank you. You get me for almost 2 weeks here.
Well, that's fantastic. To lighten up a little bit, I grew up in Walnut Park back in the 40s and 50s. Very ethnic neighborhood, just mostly Polish, German, Italian. And so my mom's side of the family is Polish, so I'm very familiar with the foods, you know, the kielbasas and the rye breads especially. I love rye bread of all types. But I was shopping today. First time at my store, I noticed they added a line of Jewish rye.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had Russian rye and the real dark ryes. But I don't. I remember hearing Jewish rye, but what is the difference?
I have no idea.
Oh, I was hoping maybe you could tell me what the difference
is. Like on Seinfeld, it's a marble rye? Is that the difference?
Yeah, that's a combination. But anyway, I was just wondering if there's anything special about Jewish rye as opposed to the standard rye.
I'm sure that is. It's a question for Kat Neville, who is the editor and publisher of Feast Magazine. It's on McGraw's show. I'm sure right now she could tell you in an instant what the difference is. I can't, but I will tell you, if you bring me one, I'll eat it.
Yeah. Speaking of Kat Neville, she's a babe, isn't she?
I'll say yes.
Okay. I would agree with you if we didn't have sexual harassment laws. And so you see, there's that damn First Amendment. No, I'm kidding. Yes, Kat is a very attractive woman.
Yeah, she's a sweetie. Absolutely. Okay, hey, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Marvin. I was trying to think of a way to make that funny, but there's no denying the truth. Who's on line?
Line two is Melody.
Hi, Melody.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I guess I view this whole situation from the eyes of either being 19 and living in Europe. And the bombings that went on have been on in that continent.
Yeah.
But I think 9/11 changed the whole ball game. I do think that they have succeeded, but I think they've succeeded in a spiritual war that infuses terror in different degrees and different ideologies. I think I watch my back a little bit closer if I travel. That's a form of fear. I think we've legislated laws and the home security division and all that out of fear. So I do think, I guess I want to say, I do think they have succeeded and will continue. And I'm a Christian and I believe in revelation and I believe that this is going to be ongoing and it will not quit because I do believe the enemies are beyond what we can touch.
All right, but Melody, let me ask you a question about something you said. You said when you travel, you watch your back. Do you mean when you fly or when you drive somewhere?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think that you now realize that the world has come closer to being a global influence and a threat to, let's say, the United States.
But what do you do that's different now than it would have been when you flew in 1995?
Well, you know, I think there was an interesting article on CNN, and they listed five countries that are targeted for terrorist activities.
Mm-hmm.
United States.
Yeah, but you weren't going there anyway.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think you would be a fool to not look at, well, maybe I don't need to travel in that country if that's a target.
But really, but seriously, Melody, has that really affected you? Did you say, you know what, I was going to go to Somalia, but now I'm not?
Well, I'm not sure it was Somalia, but I have to say that I think it makes us all look at security in a different way in our everyday life.
See, I don't really think it does. I think we all are living our regular life. You get up in the morning here in St. Louis, you have your breakfast, you get in your car, you go to your job, you take care of your kids, you go to their soccer match or their hockey game, or you can't wait for the pitchers and catchers to report to spring training. That's the sort of stuff that takes up our everyday life. And if you do live your life in fear, then you are giving in to not just the terrorists, but all of the fear mongers in this country who want you to be afraid of everything.
Well, look at England. You know, stay calm and carry on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think, like I said, it's a degree. I don't think it overshadows everyday activities. But I think it overshadows our general lives as far as the quality of our lives. If we look at the whole total picture of how we conduct our lives, I think you would be foolish not to weigh that in to protecting yourself.
Well,
do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I'll be honest with you. I travel fairly often. I'm flying somewhere or another every 4 to 6 weeks. And I go where I want and I do what I want. And I, I mean, I worry about security. We keep the house locked, and I keep my car locked, and but that's the sort of stuff that I was doing before 9/11, and will continue to do that just because I'm security conscious. But it's not that I look around and go, okay, what terrorists are out to get me today?
No, I guess maybe the way I presented it, that I feel that way. I don't think it's to that degree in my life as an American citizen right now. But I also used to not have to take off my shoes.
Oh, I know.
And you know what I'm saying? When I traveled as a young person,
oh, I know.
A younger person, and I do think that affects the quality of our lives.
Oh, absolutely.
And I do think they have succeeded in a terror in that form.
Okay, I'll buy that, Melody. I'm glad you called. Well, you're absolutely right about that security facade at the airport. I got to take a break. We'll come back in just a minute here. 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS, cell phone star KTRS. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550.
Meet me.
Jim, out of the roads.
All right. I don't see much happening on the highways right now. We did have some pothole repairs that were on southbound 270 before Manchester. Now, the camera I saw looks like it may be gone. A little bit heavy between 40 and Manchester. If you're going on westbound 40, things are building now from about Hampton through McCausland. Still looking pretty good going over the Poplar Street Bridge. And this report brought to you by Subway. Introducing the new Simple 6 menu at Subway. It starts with 6 of their best 6-inch sandwiches. Now in made just for you meals for just $6 each. All day, every day. Subway, eat fresh. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Introducing the new Simple 6 menu at Subway. It starts with 6 of their best 6-inch sandwiches. Now in made just few meals for just $6 each. Subway, eat fresh.
Are you ready to succeed in 2015? Say goodbye to those extra inches and say hello to the medical weight loss program that will change your life.
The Fast Track Plan at Advanced Medical Weight Loss RX. Lose up to 30 pounds in 23 days with a medically supervised weight loss program with a 90% success rate.
Do you suffer from metabolic syndrome, obesity type 1, 2, or 3, type 2 diabetes? Have you tried and failed over and over again? Then you're the perfect candidate.
Don't delay. Call now for a free consultation. 618-509-5290.
That's 618-509-5290. Find out about the 23-day Fast Track Package, where you'll visit one-on-one with Dr. Bridget Brasfield.
And get a customized prescription appetite control plan that will take the weight off in a hurry.
Appointment times are filling up fast, so you better call right now. 618-509-5290. That's 618-509-5290. Or online at advancedmedicalweightlossrx.com.
With approved health assessment, call for details, limited time only. Results vary. New clients only. Not valid with other offers.
The cost of life insurance is a mystery to most people. So SelectQuote is setting the record straight. You are?
Mike.
Ever bought life insurance, Mike?
No, I haven't.
Married? Kids?
Yeah, a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old.
Well, what's kept you from getting life insurance?
Well, the money.
Oh, yeah. Well, you said you were 42, in great health.
Yeah.
And what do you think a 10-year, $500,000 term life policy would cost you a month?
Oh, $100? More?
Well, SelectQuote impartially shops nearly a dozen highly rated companies for your best rates, so you could get that $500,000 policy for under $27 a month.
This is amazing. I spent more than that taking my kids to the movies.
Hey, everybody, see for yourself. You can afford life insurance through SelectQuote.
Just call 1-800-900-3458. That's 1-800-900-3458. 1-800-900-3458. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
For over 30 years, Stefaninas has been serving delicious original family recipes brought from Sicily to America by founder Stefanina herself. Outstanding food, large portions, low prices, and great service in a family atmosphere has made Stefaninas one of the area's finest Italian restaurants. With 4 locations in St. Charles County and 1 in Chesterfield, Stefaninas is a place to go for everything from pizza and pasta to steak and seafood dinners that the entire family can enjoy. And now you can save even more with their daily specials. Call ahead or order online at steffspizza.com or dine in. But don't miss these savings.
Hey, pizza lovers, it's Wednesday. That means you can enjoy an extra large 20-inch one-topping pizza and hot, cheesy garlic bread for $17.50 at Stefaninas. Call your local Stefaninas or Stefaninas Express location or order online at steffspizza.com. It's the pizza and garlic cheese bread special every Wednesday at Stefaninas.
Hi, this is John J. Mr. Fix-It. We all have junk around our homes, old TVs, maybe an old refrigerator, the entertainment center, things your kids brought home from college, heck, things you brought home from college. You know the stuff you don't use, and it's just taking up valuable space. You'd like to get rid of it, but you don't know who to call to help you with all of this. Well, I need you to call Pitch It and Forget It, 314-932-1100. Pitch It will provide residential and commercial junk removal service with variable affordable rates. The friendly staff at Pitch It will visit your location on your schedule and provide you with a quote on the spot at no cost. They'll remove items from your basement, your attic, your office, your warehouse. They'll even clean up after themselves. You don't have to lift a finger. Isn't that nice? And their prices are lower than the national change. Pitch It is an eco-friendly, recycling most items, and they are fully insured. So call the folks at Pitch It at 932-1100. That's Pitch It at 932-1100 or pitchitandforgetit.com. That's pitchitandforgetit.com. Don't forget, senior discounts apply.
John Michael Montgomery is one of country music's most beloved stars, and he's heading to the Riverside Resort January 29th through the 31st. Few artists in any genre sing with more heart and is reflected through his music, including hits I Swear and I Love the Way You Love Me. Get your tickets to see John Michael Montgomery at the Riverside Resort in Laughlin, Nevada. Special room and show packages are available by calling 800-227-3849 or online at riversideresort.com.
Hi, it's Frank. You know, I think when you're born, you're dealt these cards. I think, you know, some people, I didn't get any hair. All right. My hair was gone at 23. Okay. So no big deal. Some people, it just seems like their whole lives, they're just the way the stars were lined up, that they have migraine headaches all the time, or they get bad eyes. I got a bad deal in the eye department. I got all kinds of issues, but teeth, I got dealt a good hand there. Pretty lucky with my teeth. Good, solid, strong, fairly white without having to whiten them teeth. Not everybody gets that. But I also take care of them by going to the dentist. And sometimes the problems people have with their teeth are created by themselves because they don't go to the dentist. If you're one of those people and you've put it off and put it off, knock it off. Let's end it here with Ballast Dental Care. Let's put an end to this putting off what you haven't done for what you know is far too long. It's been years since you've been to a dentist. Now, let's say you've been to a dentist. You go regularly, but you're not wild about your dentist, or your dentist died or retired or is mean or has bad breath. Ballast Dental Care. I'm inviting you to go where I've gone for over 41 years, and that's the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads. You will not regret this. BallastDentalCare.com.
That's Frank's voice recorded because he and Ian and Dan are in Cancun with 90 of our listeners. And while they're away, I get to play. It's Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS. Tim and Kyle are here with me. Before I go back to the phones, a little bit of breaking news. You may have heard this morning that there was a problem on board the space station and that the three of the astronauts who were up there had to leave the American section and go over to the Russian section and close a door behind them because there was a possible ammonia leak. NASA has just reported that it was a false alarm. And so everything's okay up there and they can go on with their day, which of course starts every 90 minutes.
Right.
It's one of the cool things about being on a space station. They're going around the Earth so fast.
16 sunrises, 16 sunsets.
That's right.
Yeah.
Every 90 minutes, the sun comes up. Yeah.
Wow.
All right. So back to the phones here. 314-969-KTRS, 1-888-550-KTRS. Cell phone star KTRS. If you're just joining us earlier, I was talking about this Charlie Hebdo attack, and today the newspaper in France sold out of a million copies before dawn this morning, and they say they are going to increase their print run from the original 60,000. They were already up to a million. Then they said 3 million. Now they're saying they're going to print 5 million copies of this week's issue. And I'm sure they'll have more subscribers going forward. And I asked the question, did the terrorists actually accomplish anything here other than killing 17 people and making the world more aware of how brutal they are? They certainly didn't accomplish, if their goal was to not have somebody publish cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad, that didn't work because not only did the magazine, the newspaper in Paris do it, but now news organizations worldwide and websites around the world have picked it up and run with it. And if you haven't seen that picture, you just haven't been looking because they're everywhere. And so, yeah, you killed a bunch of people, but you certainly didn't squash the message from the provocateurs who you thought you were going to put out of business. It's that whole question of what does terrorism actually accomplish other than destroying people and lives, if the terror part of it is to create so much fear that those people will never do that again. Don't put up a mission accomplished banner on this one. Mike, you're on the Big 550. Hello.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
I am AM and the PM.
Thank you very much.
Yes. I am a high school teacher, mm-hmm. actually, and one of the classes that I teach is current events. And we discussed Charlie Hebdo all day today, and I completely agree with you that they did not accomplish anything. And I think, in fact, with the printing of the issue today, really freedom of speech, freedom of expression took a step even further, because if you translate it, they took the high road. The one important or amazing thing that it said on there is translated at the top, all is forgiven.
Yeah.
So even in the midst of this tragedy, the editors who were left were willing to say, you know, we forgive the terrorists, which sends a much more powerful message than any message that the terrorists were trying to send themselves.
You know, I got to be honest, when I saw it a couple of days ago, we knew what that headline was going to be, All is Forgiven. I wasn't sure if it was the editors of Charlie Hebdo saying that, or if in putting those words above a caricature of the Prophet Muhammad, they're saying that that's Muhammad saying all is forgiven.
Well, I think
it's open to interpretation
of both, because I think that's the other important aspect of it from the French perspective and from the editor's perspective, was that they had Muhammad, or the caricature of him, holding the I don't speak French, sorry, but the I am Charlie.
Yeah, Je suis Charlie.
Sign.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the message that they wanted to send, was that, and I stress to my students that I think this is the most important message that everybody has to keep in mind about these attacks, is that 99.9% of Islamic people of the Islamic faith, of Muslims, do not preach the hate that these radicals are all about.
Right.
There is nothing in the Muslim faith that says, you know, we have to kill people who are against us or anything of that sort. It's only radical individuals that do that. And that's why they had Muhammad holding the sign, I think, above all is forgiven, and holding the sign that said, I am Charlie, because nothing about Islam or Muslims, again, preaches violence or hate.
And what do your students tell you about this? We're talking about 16, 17, 18-year-old kids. What's their take on this?
Correct. Well, a lot of them, you know, were not familiar with it to begin with. They understand satire, but they have a hard time grasping the purpose behind, because, you know, the magazine has a history of doing this. It began in 2006 when they posted their first depiction of Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, the biggest issue happened in 2011 when their offices were firebombed.
Right.
You know, they had a hard time grasping why this editor would continue to do this. And after he showed up in the magazine, Al-Qaeda's magazine, where they posted their 9 most wanted people that they wanted assassinated,
mm-hmm.
and one of them was this editor of this magazine, why he would keep doing these things.
Yep.
And I told them, he was a man who really, you know, I said, you girls, probably on a daily basis, you do not appreciate the freedom that you have given you living in such a free country.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a man who really, truly appreciated those freedoms and has actually said before, I would rather die than give up my freedom of speech, my freedom of expression.
Very interesting that so many of them aren't familiar with that, and I guess that's one of the reasons why they need good teachers like you, Mike. I'm glad you called. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you.
Have a good day.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Here's Larry on the Big 550. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Paul. I was, in the days right after the attack, I was in a place, and the TV was on, and they were interviewing some guy. He was either the head or second man in the National Security Administration under a past president. I didn't catch the name. But they posed the question to him, you know, did they accomplish anything by killing a few people in France? And he said, absolutely. He said, now they can raise money.
Huh.
He said, when they make a big splash in the world on something like this, he said, it makes it much easier for them to raise money for mm-hmm. their future endeavors.
Yeah.
And that I never thought of it like that.
You know what? The same is true in our country with political loudmouths, et cetera, who, you know, they've got their mailing list of their supporters who are behind them, and they go out and they attack something for some reason, whether it's a physical attack or just a verbal attack or an attack through the media. And then even if there's backlash, they can say to their supporters, you know what, look what I did on your behalf. And you're right, the dollars will roll in. That's a global yeah. phenomenon, and you're exactly right. That's one of the parts of this I hadn't considered.
Yeah, it surprised me, but it does make sense.
It's good. Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
All right.
One other thing I want to mention here is another piece I read today. This is by a woman named Sarah Leah Whitson, who's the director of Middle East Operations for Human Rights Watch. I had one of her colleagues on my show on January 1st when I was filling in for McGraw, and he was talking about the oppression of women in Saudi Arabia, even to the point where they're being prosecuted for driving. So in a piece that she wrote today for CNN.com, she says, where are some Muslims getting the idea that violence against journalists who offend them is okay? Why do they see beheadings as a fitting punishment? A good place to look for answers would be to examine Saudi Arabia's policies of intolerance and extremism. King Abdullah, as the protector of Islam's most sacred religious sites and leader of Saudi Arabia, is widely considered an important role model for Muslims around the world, so it shouldn't come as a surprise that many Muslims take their cues from that country on the prohibitions and punishments they consider appropriate to inflict on those who challenge or disagree with their interpretations of Islam. Saudi Arabia gave a good indication of its positions on appropriate punishments last Friday when it carried out round one of a public flogging, 50 lashes against Raif Badawi, a young blogger, in front of the Al Jafali Mosque in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. A Saudi court had fined Badawi and sentenced him in 2014 to 1,000 lashes over 20 sessions. This was the first, plus 10 years in prison. Why? For the crime of insulting Islam, because he set up a website to debate various topics, including religion. And he's not the only Saudi who faced punishment for his perceived views. That government has jailed many leading intellectuals and writers and activists who have dared to question any tenet of the orthodoxy imposed by the country's Wahhabi religious leaders. A former colleague of Badawi's was jailed late last year on charges of insulting the messenger in connection with tweets that allegedly criticized religious authorities. And in October, a Saudi court sentenced a Shiite cleric to death for criticizing the government and breaking allegiance with the ruler. She said Saudi Arabia beheaded at least 26 people last August alone. That's more than ISIS has done all year. 82 beheadings in 2014 make Saudi Arabia a world leader in capital punishment. So is it really any surprise that extremist groups also acting, quote, in the name of Islam, unquote, seem to be following Saudi Arabia's lead, meting out their severe punishments against journalists and activists they find offensive? If Saudi Arabia thinks publicly beheading people comports with Islamic religious teachings and deters those who also might want to criticize them or question their religion, then why shouldn't ISIS? Why shouldn't Al-Qaeda? Absolutely right. This is our partner in peace, Saudi Arabia. Why do we continue sucking up to these people who are at the root of so much of the evil that is being brought against us and others in the West? Oh, yeah. Texas tea. Black gold. Goo under the sand to make our cars run. 358 at the Big 550 KTRS.
Meep, meep.
Let's see how the cars are running, Tim.
We're already heavy on eastbound 270 now between Lindbergh and New Florissant. Westbound 40 from Hampton through McCausland. Again, 141 through Timberlake Manor. And a bit heavy on southbound 270 from Clayton Road Overpass down through Doherty Ferry. And this report brought to you by Subway. At Subway, experience the breakthrough taste of new grilled chicken strips. Premium cut and all white meat without artificial preservatives or flavors. Subway, eat fresh. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Si, senorito, 47. Si. I'm sorry, a young, beautiful Mexican girl was just asking me how old I was, and I told her 47.
Luego.
From Mexico, it's Frank Opinion. How are you? How's that weather? Sorry. It's a nice year, 80s. They don't need heat right now in Mexico, but you do. And you're going to need it more, and you're still going to need it, and then probably to April. And then it's going to be a nice little stretch where you could probably go without heating or cooling, and then it's going to get hot again, and you're going to... What a workout that system, that heating and cooling system is getting. It needs somebody to take care of it. You know, just like humans need somebody to take care of them, Matheny Heating and Cooling. That's who I would love for you to call. If you've already used them, I don't have to ask you because you will anyway. People that call Matheny generally don't ever call anybody else. So I don't have to say, hey, have them come out again. I'm talking to you who folks who have never used Matheny Heating and Cooling, and I'm telling you that if you do, I don't think you'll ever want to have anybody else. Last week, because we're in Mexico this week, and it dropped down to zero or something, I got a wonderful email from a guy. Said his heat went out. It was 5 degrees. He called Matheny, 10 o'clock, they were there at noon. And you know